WUSB 90.1 FM, Stony Brook. And welcome to this edition of the Healthy Planet radio program. My name is Bob DiBenedetto, your host for the best hour of your life. That's right, the one that's always in front of you, right now, whenever that happens to be. The Healthy Planet focuses on topics that will help to educate you about the deep connection among all life on Earth and the powerful effect your everyday choices can have on creating a clean, healthy, and compassionate world. Well, we've got a fun show tonight that will be highlighting an exciting new program that's been held in other parts of the U.S. for years, but is happening for the first time on Long Island over the month of June. And that's right now. It's an event that all of us can begin enjoying the very next time that we go out to eat. And it's called the Vegan Chef Challenge. Its aim is to expand plant-based dining options by partnering with restaurants to showcase the creativity of local chefs who create exciting original vegan dishes. And it also is looking to encourage the public to discover that vegan food can be delicious and can be enjoyed by everyone, not just those on a vegan diet. In a moment, you're going to hear everything you need to know about this fun and effective program. And we're also going to talk about the word vegan and how it's looked at in society, and perhaps why we feel that way, and does it make sense? And toward that end, we have a great crew on air with us this evening who have been involved in running other vegan chef challenges across the U.S., as well as those coordinating the new Long Island effort. So without further delay, first I'll introduce Austin Simmons. He's a vegan chef challenge coordinator at the nonprofit organization by the name of Vegan Outreach. Their mission is one that I'm pretty sure that the overwhelming majority of our listeners would wholeheartedly stand behind. And that is to end violence against animals. It's pretty simple. Austin's role is to help local Vegan Chef Challenge organizers bring this exciting event that you're about to hear much more about to their cities. We also have with us Ann Merrill, the lead organizer of the Central Long Island Vegan Chef Challenge. Ann has been a longtime and valued volunteer with our nonprofit Healthy Planet, both at our events and with our Healthy School Lunch program that we ran for many years. And finally, Jennifer Green is a key volunteer with the Central Long Island Vegan Chef Challenge event. And longtime listeners to this Friday evening spot on WUSB will recall that Jennifer was the wonderful host and producer of Love and Liberation Radio, and that was in recent years. So welcome all of you to the Healthy Planet radio program.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Good to be here, Bob. Thanks.
All right. So before we start talking about the Vegan Chef Challenge, let's talk about the organization that created the event, which is a nonprofit by the name of Vegan Outreach. Austin, tell our audience a bit more about what Vegan Outreach's mission is. I mentioned it briefly already.
Yeah, as you're mentioning, the mission of Vegan Outreach is to end violence against animals. And our vision is to see a future where sentient animals are no longer exploited as commodities. We do that through various programs that we'll talk about later. But, we're very passionate about promoting vegan food and promoting the benefits of the vegan lifestyle.
Great. So talk about the global challenges that Vegan Outreach is addressing that makes its existence and its work both important and, something I mentioned earlier, one that most people would very much support, including those who don't identify as vegan.
Yeah, so first of all, the main argument for why we should be eating more vegan food for me and for what we focus on really comes down to the animals that we want to support. Some estimates put about 99% of the animals in the United States as living on factory farms. That's largely because there's so many chickens that live in sheds and everything. And anybody you talk to on the street will say that they don't want to support factory farms. They think what goes on in there is evil and all that. But realistically, there's no way to raise 10 billion land animals in the United States for so many meat eaters to eat meat 3 meals a day without these factory farms. You know, the only reason these prices are so low are from the demand and subsidies. And, you know, we just can't pasture raise everything. There really is no other way around the problem of factory farming than reducing our meat consumption. And us vegans, we want to avoid any exploitation of animals. So even like on the pasture raised, the small farms, there's still inherent problems like with dairy production. The calves need to be separated from their mothers, and all animals in farming are eventually killed. And if they don't need to be killed, we think that we should avoid doing so. Our food events like the Vegan Chef Challenge really focus on the food side of things, and they work to tackle the stigma that people have around vegan food. Because with all these benefits, they're great, but at the end of the day, it's also just food that it can be very delicious. It can have health benefits, and people can just enjoy them. So we try to get some positive buzz around vegan options. One of our program goals is to expand the overall availability of vegan food, and we often see that after the events too.
And the issues that you mentioned with the animals are something that most people would not disagree with, the fact that it's really too much. We're talking about trillions of animals when you talk about land and sea animals every single year. That's a lot, but it's also the environment is at stake.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the biggest reasons animal agriculture is so environmentally impactful is you just have to think every land animal that we raise needs to eat. They need to drink water and they need space. So even on these factory farms, they're getting so much grain raised for them. Some estimates put the overall land use needed by animal farming and to raise the grain that they need at about 83% of our agricultural land. So it takes a lot of space. And some estimates also say if we had a global shift towards a vegan diet, we'd free up land roughly in size of Africa just from not needing to raise all that food for the animals and all that. And I live here in Illinois, and as far as the eye can see corn and soybeans. And the vast majority of the soybeans go to animal feed, and a large chunk of the corn also goes to animal feed too. So it really is just pretty crazy when you think about it, and we don't need to eat this way.
Yeah, globally, we are an animal factory that produces animals. 83% of our farmland and 75% of that could be reduced just by shifting to eating the plants themselves, which most of us do anyway in order to live a healthy life. Not a
Yeah,
big
some people
change.
think it's a very privileged thing to eat vegan, and there's some like, of course, like Beyond an Impossible Meat and all that is like delicious, and we like including it where we can. But when you go to like India or a lot of these countries that are more poor, the staple foods are vegan. It's rice, beans, lentils, things like that. So it really is a position of privilege to be able to eat as much meat as we do. But that comes at great cost to the animals and our environment.
Yeah. And it comes at a great cost to those countries who don't eat a lot of meat because we're all on one planet. We have one life support system. So you have a bunch of programs that are wonderful at vegan outreach that enlighten people about what it is to be vegan, what it is to eat vegan. And it also walks them through becoming vegan in very nice ways, which all of this can be found on your website, veganoutreach.org. Talk about some of those programs.
Yeah, we got a lot of really cool programs that support our overall goals. So we've had a vegan mentor program ongoing for a long time. That's somewhere something that vegans can sign up for to be mentors. And anybody interested in either going vegan or improving on their vegan lifestyle, if they have questions or anything, can sign up to be supported by one of those. That's an email-based program. We also have 10 weeks to vegan, and that's a really cool challenge you could take yourself. We actually had over 1.7 million people sign up for that around the world.
Wow.
Yeah, and one of the reasons it's so popular is it's country specific. So we have specific versions for the United States and Canada, and there's also a version for India, and there's other countries as well. And when we do that, we can focus on what the regional challenges are with going vegan. Like in India, we don't need to talk as much about beef substitutes. They still might talk about that, but they might focus more on dairy substitutes because there's a lot of dairy there. So that's something that is really helpful, and you guys can sign up for that even on the Long Island Vegan Chef Challenge website. We have some other things going on in Asia too. In Asia, we have our Green Tuesday program, and over 85 institutions work with the vegan outreach team to reduce their animal products that they use. And through that program and our Food Planet Health program, they've reduced over 22 million pounds of animal products. And that's one of the stats that we track with the institutions that we're helping reduce their impact. And then finally, we're here to talk about the Vegan Chef Challenge, which is something that I focus on. It's super cool. It's what we do to help bring new vegan options to cities. And we just try to create a positive buzz around vegan food. And it isn't really focused just on vegans. We really want to include non-vegan restaurants, and we want to encourage non-vegan diners to try the food, vote on it, and be part of the fun. And we do often see the stigma around vegan food lessen around that.
Yes, indeed. That's an important part of this discussion, and I will ask you more about that momentarily. First, we're going to take a brief break. This is Bob DiBenedetto with the Healthy Planet Radio Show on WUSB 90.1 FM, Stony Brook. We're talking about an exciting event that's happening all month long on Long Island called the Vegan Chef Challenge. We're talking to Austin Simmons of Vegan Outreach, the organization that created this event, as well as Anne Merrill, the lead organizer for this event on Long Island, and Jennifer Green, a key volunteer with the event and past host of Love and Liberation Radio on WUSB. To find out more about Vegan Outreach, go to www.veganoutreach.org. That's veganoutreach.org. And more about the Central Long Island Vegan Chef Challenge, go to veganchefchallenge.org/Long Island. That's veganchefchallenge.org/Long Island. Austin, another piece of Vegan Outreach's work is something that you started talking about, and that is the Vegan Chef Challenge. And that's on Long Island now as we speak. Describe to our audience what the challenge is, why it was created, how it works, and anything else you could think of.
First of all, the Vegan Chef Challenge started in Durham, North Carolina. That was back in 2010, before it was associated with Vegan Outreach. And that was by somebody named Eleni Vallecos and her friend Chef Shirley. So they just wanted to see more vegan food in their city. And the event was a really great success. So much so that somebody that lived on the West Coast over in Sacramento heard about it. And they worked together to organize the first Sacramento Vegan Chef Challenge in 2011. And I live in Illinois, so for us here, I don't know about over in Long Island where there's already a lot of great vegan options, but when I hear of anywhere in California, I assume like, oh, there must be like a lot of vegan food there. But Sacramento didn't particularly stand out for its vegan food. Like, of course it was around, but it didn't stand out in California. And over the years, this is going to be their 16th annual Vegan Chef Challenge there.
Wow.
Each year, they just see more participation, more restaurants joining. Restaurants look forward to it every year. They have specials and there's media around vegan food. And that's grown Sacramento's vegan scene to be, one of the standout places in the country. So it really has had a big impact. We've even seen like 50 to 60 restaurants participate in recent years. So it
Miss.
is cool to see how that's grown, and that has really taken off. And over the past few years, Vegan Outreach has worked to take up the program and expand it in other cities across the country. How it works is Vegan Chef Challenges are month-long events, and they showcase new vegan options at local restaurants. So typically 10 to 30 restaurants take part, and the public is encouraged to vote for their favorite dishes. We also encourage people to rate dishes as they go. So don't wait till the very end to just vote on one. Like, go get those ratings in as you try them, especially if you're in the Long Island area. This is the month to go around and vote on as much as you can. And at the end of the event, somewhere in mid-July for Long Island, we'll announce the awards based on those diner votes. So it's just a lot of fun. It's a way to get media attention on vegan food. It's a way to get chefs used to creating creative vegan options that aren't just afterthoughts. And it's a really great way to get non-vegans on board with trying vegan food. And once that stigma around vegan food goes away and people can see that, oh, vegan ice cream can be delicious too, you know, it really opens people up to those other benefits of going vegan and makes it a lot easier to eventually go vegan for the animals. We also have supporting programs such as our 10 Weeks to Vegan that people can sign up for on our event website, and our table tents have links to it. And that can help people make that transition to a sustainable vegan lifestyle that they can enjoy after the event ends too.
That's fantastic. And something about this event that might not be clear is that volunteers approach the restaurants asking them to create an entirely new vegan option. So these restaurants,
Yeah.
they're both learning and also spreading what they learn to the people who will then come into their restaurants to enjoy the new food that they've created as a result of this program.
Yeah, and that's the bulk of the work. So, like, that's what most of our time is spent as when we're organizing these events is talking to those restaurants. We try to cast a wide net and invite, you know, as many as we can. You never know who's going to join. Like, you might think that the vegan restaurant will join, but my experience, they don't always. So, you can't even rely on that. And sometimes it's the hole in the wall mom and pop shop that has zero vegan options that ends up taking the event most seriously. They make the most creative dishes and they end up getting some of the most votes. So sometimes it's hard to predict who will really take on that challenge aspect. But yeah, we have a chef invitation folder we drop off. It explains what vegan food is, explains some tips on how to make it. We have like a protein flyer that our founder Jack Norris really wanted in because he's a registered dietitian. He looks at these menus sometimes and he thinks like, I think they could do a little better because, like, if you just make a dish with you take out the meat and you just replace it with mushrooms, that could have like really great textures and flavors, but it may not be as satisfying and filling as a dish that had a lot of protein and calories in it. So, we encourage chefs to make dishes that are satisfying with protein, and we give suggestions on what to include. And a lot of times, those folders and the talks we have are very educational. And chefs are very inspired to continue making vegan dishes after the event ends too.
That's fantastic. And I'll also give kudos to Vegan Outreach for not just the work that you're doing to educate the chefs and the restaurants, but to the support that you're giving to the people who are doing this in various locations. I've seen some of the materials and the presentations that you do to help people get this up and running. And it's fantastic. Great work.
Yeah, thank you.
We are going to talk about the local Vegan Chef Challenge, but before I go there, I mentioned before that most people naturally agree with Vegan Outreach's mission of ending violence against animals. And that's not a stretch. When you think about it, if you're not supporting ending violence against animals, are you supporting continuing violence against animals? And in reality, that describes pretty much nobody that I know, regardless of how they eat. So, in our society's daily eating habits, we're seeing that really they're quite out of alignment with the people who are doing the eating's actual values. Largely due to, from my perspective, lifelong social conditioning. We tolerate immense violence just for a taste experience, even though we now know, and many are just learning, that eating animals is really nutritionally unnecessary. So, with that said, even though being vegan is very cool and a trendy way of being in recent decades, witness the wide adoption of a vegan diet by some of the world's top pop stars, actors, athletes, and more. There is still a heavy stigma around the word vegan and around going vegan in some sectors. I mean, just look at the public discussion around Billie Eilish's recent statements, right? She said something that's very simple, something that's very self-evident on one level, that it's impossible to both love animals and consume them. She said you can't do both. And the reality is, there's nothing very complicated about that, but people do both. They do love animals and they do eat them. So it's very interesting that while she's saying you can't do both, in fact, that's what people do because people are good and people love animals. But the fact is, she's also right in that if you're saying you love animals and yet you choose to pay to have them killed, one can question whether or not that love is expansive enough in terms of applying to all animals versus the ones that are just in front of you. But again, look at the uproar that's arisen from those simple comments that she made. So Austin, I want you to give us your take on how the term vegan is looked at and talk about how your organization and the Vegan Chef Challenge are working to change that narrative. You did touch on that already, but add anything else that you can to that.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point. And so there's a really good book that kind of talks about this that I read as a new vegan. It's called Why We Love Dogs, Eat Pigs, and Wear Cows by it's a psychologist named Dr. Melanie Joy. She's got TED Talks and stuff too that you can watch on YouTube. But really, it's a very interesting thing to think about because it's really interesting because like there's people I would say are much bigger animal lovers than me that eat meat every day. And for me, like I like animals, but you know, sometimes I'm not like super cuddly with them. You know, I'm not always, you know, I want to consider myself an animal lover in that traditional sense.
Right.
But what it comes down to, what she and other researchers have found is that, you know, eating meat is normal, natural, nice, and necessary. And you really have to tackle those excuses one at a time. We know that, you know, sure, like vegan, you know, eating meat is normal, but, you know, there's plenty of things in the past that have been normal that weren't good. You know, we can look at American history to see some ideas there. It could be natural, but also who cares? Because currently we're connected across the United States talking right now. Listeners are listening on their radios or online. We all have indoor plumbing and we make these trade-offs that we think are for the best. And there's some times where it is better to not be natural. You know, I don't want to, you know, go to the bathroom naturally. I want like indoor plumbing and stuff. So why does it need to be a special exception for something that kills and harms animals? You know, I don't really think that's a good excuse. And people say it's nice. Well, the Vegan Chef Challenge and Great Vegan Food tackles that. I'm sure there's nice tasting meat-based foods, but also all of us would only be vegan this long if we found some joy in our diets too. Things like vegan ice cream exist. There's Beyond and Impossible burgers. You can go to restaurants and get really creative meals crafted by gourmet chefs. That's not really an excuse either. It's like you can have nice food either way. And finally, we know it's not necessary because, well, there's millions of vegans out in the world that are healthy and doing well. And there's plenty of research to show that there can be, we can all be healthy on a vegan diet. And there may even be health benefits such as reduced risk of type 2 diabetes. So a lot of the excuses just need to be tackled one at a time. And once you do that, you can really, it makes the transition a lot easier. And I neglected to mention one of our other programs at Vegan Outreach. That's our college leafleting program called Adopt a College. And I do go visit universities. They hand out materials talking about the animal agriculture system and vegan food. We have lots of leaflets, and that's what Vegan Outreach got to start doing, actually. And we have these conversations with so many students, and it really does come down to those excuses. You know, people will think it's necessary, or they'll think that, like, oh, eating meat's just nice and all this. But at the end of the day, none of those justify how we treat animals. And even if, you know, a lot of the excuses don't factor in that, you know, it may be possible to eat a somewhat healthy diet as a non-vegan, but we also know you can eat a healthy diet as a vegan. So it's like a lot of them don't really excuse us from giving it a try. So hopefully more people do consider making the transition.
Yep, there are many reasons to do so. I'll address these next questions to those who are organizing the Vegan Chef Challenge on Long Island. And let's start with you, Anne. This event is like nothing that's been done here before. And I'm sure you knew that when you took this on. It's a considerable amount of work to pull it together. And yet you chose to take the leap of faith and make it happen. So tell us your motivation for stepping up to organize this event and why this type of an event in particular versus anything else you could have been doing with your life.
Well, I decided to start a Vegan Chef Challenge on Long Island because when I was dining out with non-vegan family and friends, I experienced how limited my options were. And I often had to spend several minutes with my server figuring out how to modify menu items, how to make them vegan. And that was a little bit uncomfortable for me because I felt like I was taking up extra time at the restaurant when other people could just order so easily. And there's a saying, be the change that you wish to see in the world. And this challenge is my way of doing just that. I feel like I'm helping to expand and elevate plant-based dining across Long Island. And vegans want more places where they can dine with their omnivore friends and family. And I believe many restaurants will discover that offering creative vegan dishes doesn't just serve vegans and vegetarians. It also appeals to people who are lactose intolerant, health-conscious diners, environmentally minded consumers, and food lovers who simply enjoy trying something new. So it's my hope that many of these chefs will keep their vegan offerings on the menu long after the challenge ends. And while there are countless reasons to embrace plant-based cuisine, like we've spoken about on this program, my personal motivation is helping to reduce the suffering of animals raised for food. I think that this challenge also demonstrates that adding vegan options isn't just meaningful, it's really good business. By responding to growing consumer demand, restaurants can attract new customers, they can broaden their appeal, and they can strengthen their bottom line. It's truly a win for diners, restaurants, and animals alike.
I mentioned earlier that this is also a win for people who are learning about new places to eat. I found there was a place in Huntington right near me that I just discovered by virtue of the Vegan Chef Challenge, the Nautilus Roasting Company in Huntington. And they have a lot of vegan options on their menu. They serve vegan creamers. And upon further exploring the Nautilus Roasting Company, I see their business is 100% vegan, which is amazing to have in the neighborhood. I so appreciate that. So the point is, there are benefits that will come from this program beyond what I may have initially envisioned. Connections being made, awareness being created. So, Anne, what did it look like when you first decided to take on planning this event? That is, where did you start? What kind of help did you have?
The idea of starting a vegan chef challenge had been percolating inside me for more than a year. I had a good friend who was volunteering for the Rockford, Illinois challenge, and she was constantly raving about its success and how much she enjoyed being involved. And she kept encouraging me to start one on Long Island because I was always talking to her about wanting to make a difference for animals. When I was finally accepted as an organizer, the first hurdle was deciding when to hold the challenge. And that was no easy task because I wanted to avoid holiday months and not overlap with Long Island Restaurant Week. My next responsibility was recruiting volunteers. Well, fortunately, Jennifer and I make a great team, with Jennifer living on the eastern part of the South Shore. And me living on the western portion of the North Shore, we were able to recruit 15 volunteers from communities across Long Island. And once these fabulous volunteers began reaching out to restaurants, things really started to take off. We now have 28 participating restaurants,
Wow.
and that is representing 23 towns on Long Island.
And this is the first year.
Yeah, our inaugural year.
That's enormous.
Yeah. And on our website, there's a map showing all the participating restaurants, and it's exciting to see the purple pins spread across the island.
Yeah, that's veganchefchallenge.org/Long Island. veganchefchallenge.org/Long Island, where you'll see that map.
And we truly exceeded the typical number of restaurant signups in our inaugural year. And I'm incredibly proud of what our team has accomplished. So, looking ahead, we hope to include even more towns on our Long Island. And if anyone listening thinks this sounds like the volunteer opportunity that they've been searching for, I'd love to hear from you.
Your contact information, Anne?
Yes, that's A. Merrill 216 at gmail.com. That's A. Merrill, M as in Mary, ERRILL 216 at gmail.com.
Perfect. This is Bob DiBenedetto with the Healthy Planet Radio Show on WUSB 90.1 FM Stony Brook. We're talking about an exciting event that's happening all month long on Long Island called the Vegan Chef Challenge. To find out more about Vegan Outreach, the organization that has created this program, go to www.veganoutreach.org. And to find out everything about the Central Long Island Vegan Chef Challenge, go to veganchefchallenge.org/Long Island. veganchefchallenge.org/Long Island. And Jennifer, let's go to you now. There are a good number of restaurants and chefs participating in this challenge. Give our audience their names and locations so that everyone listening can have a sense of what's around me, what's around an area that I normally travel in.
Sure. So we did call it the Central Long Island Vegan Chef Challenge, but the restaurants go all the way from Port Washington to Riverhead. And then hopefully, maybe in future years, we'll get all the way out to Montauk. I am going to tell you all about the 28 participating restaurants and businesses. I'll go roughly west to east from Nassau to Suffolk. But again, don't worry if you can't write this down, because as Bob and Anne have said, you can go to veganchefchallenge.org. And you select the Find a Challenge menu option to get to all of the, that will show you all the across the country, the current and upcoming challenges. I think there are about 20 listed from coast to coast. But if you scroll down about eight entries, then you'll find Central Long Island Vegan Chef Challenge. Click on that, and then you'll see the map that Anne was talking about with the 28 marked locations. And below that is the full list of restaurants and businesses with quick links for each business to their website, phone number, location, and the vegan specials that they're offering. So in Port Washington, there's Flora's Wine Bar and Restaurant. In Albertson, there's Sotto Luna Cucina Italiana Bar and Pizza. In Williston Park, we have Rockin' Roots. There are two locations of Fresco Creperie and Cafe, one in Williston Park and one in Long Beach. In Oceanside, there's Secret Vegan Kitchen. In East Norwich, there's Angelina's Italian Restaurant. And in Oyster Bay, there is Wild Honey Restaurant. In Syosset, there are two participating businesses. There's Flora's Pizza Cafe and Mongo's Coffee Roastery and Lounge. In Woodbury, there's Ruta Oaxaca Mexican Cuisine. In Huntington Station, there's Nautilus Roasting Company that Bob mentioned. And in Huntington proper, there's New Wave Burrito Bar and Sapsuckers Hops and Grub. We've got three participating businesses in Farmingdale: 317 Main Street, the Poor Authority, and the Recovery Room Cafe. In Babylon is beloved Sugar Pie Shop. In Massapequa is the Chef's Pantry. In Ronkonkoma, Pai a Thai, Thai restaurant. In Port Jefferson, we have Pasta Pasta. In Miller Place, there's C.P. Lamano's Italian restaurant. In Sayville, there's Umberto's of Sayville, which is a pizza joint. In Medford, we have Long Island Pita House. In East Patchogue, there's Pine Grove Inn. In Wading River, there's the Greek Island Diner. In Ridge, there's Drifter's Kitchen and Bar. And in Riverhead, there's the North Fork Chocolate and Eatery.
That's fantastic. That's a lot of different neighborhoods. It makes it
It's a
easy.
lot. Yeah, it's wonderful.
I don't know. They delivered supplies to all of them.
I was helping driving around. It was fun.
It's usually fun to see the chefs, like how excited they are to get everything, but that's a lot of driving.
Shout out to our wonderful, fabulous volunteers.
Yeah.
No, I just say great job to all of them. It's a lot of work.
It is indeed.
Somebody this morning just said to me, "So many restaurants, so little time." Because they're already frustrated that they're trying to go to all 28 and they only have the month of June. However, we're hoping that many of these restaurants are going to keep these vegan options on their menu after the challenge is over.
Sure. While we're on the topic of food establishments that have taken on the challenge of creating new and exciting vegan menu options, let's also give a shout out to some of the other Long Island restaurants who have, for many years in cases, devoted their menus and their time and energy toward creating vegan options or creating entirely vegan menus. And Jennifer, could you list some of those?
That's right. So we already mentioned four businesses that are participating, which offer entirely vegan menus. So shout out to Rockin' Roots, Secret Vegan Kitchen, Sugar Pie Shop, and Nautilus Roasting Company. And also on the vegan honor roll across Long Island are Tomatis Restaurant and Grill in Elmont, Le Botaniste in Belmont Park Village, Cindy Snacks Deli in Centerport, Cutie Foods, which is a micro bakery in Huntington Station, Green Street Eatery in Levittown, Peach and Pine Cafe in St. James, and Pride and Joy Bakery, which has a storefront in Wading River.
Yeah, fantastic. Back to the program. Are there any social in-person events being planned as part of Central Long Island's Vegan Chef Challenge that the public can attend? And I know there's one going on at the time of this airing.
Yes, you're right. We are recording this earlier in the week, but right now, right this minute, Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. in East Patchogue, there is a vegan buffet at the Pine Grove Inn. The owner has set up an all-you-care-to-eat buffet featuring five vegan entrees. And at 7 p.m., there's going to be live music. So if anybody's on the road in the area, wants to come on over to East Patchogue, we'd love to see you. But also to stay informed about upcoming opportunities, other meetups, there are ways people can do that. And I'll mention some of them. The meetup group that I know, Bob, you have promoted in the past, the Long Island Healthy Vegan and Healthy Planet Meetup, is one way that people can sign up to be informed of upcoming opportunities, social opportunities, or restaurant meetups. So that's at the meetup.com platform, the Long Island Healthy Vegan and Healthy Planet Meetup. And then on Facebook, for folks who use Facebook, there are two groups that people can join that also will help promote opportunities for gatherings. One of them is called the Fun Vegans of Long Island Facebook group, and the other is the Vegan Long Island Forum Facebook group. And there are over 1,000 members in both groups. So those are other ways for people to connect with other people, find out about upcoming social events. And I encourage folks, if you want to find some community, those are great ways to do it.
Fantastic. And Anne, we've talked a bit about this already, but just mention that if someone is interested in this program, and they want to go out with their friends and families, how do they go out and fully participate? What does that look like?
Well, the best way people can support the challenge is by getting out there, trying the dishes.
Exactly.
Visit the participating restaurants with your friends and family. Order the Vegan Chef Challenge menu items and discover some amazing new foods along the way. One thing that people may not realize is that this challenge isn't just for vegans. And in many ways, it's actually designed to help non-vegan diners and restaurants explore the exciting world of plant-based cuisine. Plant-based cuisine is a growing trend, and it's here to stay. And this is a fun, delicious way to experience it for yourself. And after you've tried the dishes, be sure to rate and review them on our website, because those ratings help recognize the chef's hard work and show restaurant that there's a real interest in keeping these options on their menu long after the challenge ends. So whether you're vegan, vegetarian, flexitarian, or simply curious, everyone is welcome to participate. Every meal ordered, every vote cast, helps make the challenge a success.
Well, I will be participating very soon.
Great.
I'm making the sacrifice to eat delicious food. So I will pick up on something you said there, Anne, and that is you said vegan eating is here to stay. This is especially important to talk about because There are trends in vegan eating that we can actually look at. And there are also the powers that be from, let's say, animal agriculture industries that are actively pushing back against the move toward plant-based foods. They use aggressive PR, lobbying, marketing campaigns that portray veganism as being on the decline, which is untrue. And you even see in politics now, a particular political party refers to people as vegans and soy boys as a disparaging way of looking at them, to cast them as somehow less than manly. And they are talking about me, of course. So, have you, Austin, have you been looking at the trends, and what could you tell us about what's happening to vegan eating and the numbers in recent decades?
So first of all, I think it is funny like how much they target men about eating vegan, and it's like, I don't know, like I know so many vegan athletes like myself. I've done martial art competitions, and you know, there's no reason why you can't be a good man and eat meat, you know. And a lot of times we think that being a good man usually involves protecting others and being a good role model and trying to make the world a better place, you know, doing things that might take self-discipline. You know, it's very easy to go with the flow and, you know, just do what all your neighbors do and, you know, eat at the barbecue. Don't bring your own food. Don't rock the boat or anything. I think that's easy. But anyway,
That's a
you know,
great point. That's a very good point.
and it's, you know, overall a bigger picture too is veganism does continue to grow. Like here in the United States, the Vegetarian Resource Group does polling on this. In the 1990s, there was about 500,000 vegans, and today there's about 8 million vegans from their estimations. So that's already a big growth. We see in other countries too, like Singapore is one of the countries leading with cultivated meat. And us vegans, like we've come to love plant-based food as it is. Like we don't need animal flesh anymore. I don't really have a reason to go back to eating meat, even just for taste reasons. But a lot of people are hooked on it, and they really do want, like when they go to barbecue, like they just want what they're used to. And cultivated meat is a way to get that same meat product without the animal suffering. We may be able to make it a little healthier. There's less contamination risk, and it is better for the environment. You're not needing to, you know, raise acres of grain to feed a cow, you know, and raise them and, you know, continue to wa give them water and everything their whole life. So they're really leading the way there. I believe we actually had a vegan chef challenge there too. And even in Canada, like we've had a vegan chef challenge there just this year. So our program's kind of expanding internationally in those ways. And I know yesterday we were talking about Europe, and Europe really puts us to shame in a lot of ways, because even places like Burger King, they got some vegan options here in the United States. Like you can get Impossible Whopper. But they're experimenting with all vegan restaurants in Europe. Burger King, you know,
That's
the
amazing.
place here. And McDonald's, they don't have any vegan sandwiches or burgers in the United States. But in Europe, they do. It continues to grow there. And a lot of the growth of vegan food is at local businesses here in the United States. We see every coffee shop now carry soy milk, oat milk, things like that. That wasn't a thing a couple decades ago. We see pretty much every grocery store carrying Beyond Meat, Impossible Meat, Gardein, Amy's, vegan pizzas, whole foods, you know, such as rice, beans, lentils, veggies, fruits. Those options continue to grow. So not only is the number of vegans growing, but I think more importantly, the amount of people that are open to eating vegan food is growing. We're seeing vegan options being enjoyed by all types of diets. It's not just something for a small group of people anymore.
Yeah, it's a trend that isn't going away. And I know because so many
Absolutely.
people agree with the things that we've been talking about, but just haven't been exposed to it. I know in my early life, I didn't know that there was such a thing as being vegan. And yet when I came across it and I found found out that some people were not eating animals because of the obvious problems, not just to the animals, but to the world's food supply and many other factors that we've discussed a bit here today, I immediately stopped because I'm like, wait a minute, this is not something I need to take part. I didn't know I didn't need to do this. And in fact, when I stopped, which was in 1978, I thought I'm going to be hurting myself. And so I started looking to see what I could eat that could fill my nutritional needs. And what I found is that I was actually helping my body. If I had continued eating the way I was eating, I would have been doing damage. So now that the fact that the information is out of the bag, it's a whole different world. And there's no turning back and there's no putting it back, because it's really just confirming that most of us feel a particular way about wanting a clean ecosystem and wanting to be kind toward all animals, human and non-human. And this is the best way to do that, to approach that. So this it's a trend whose time has come.
Absolutely.
This is Bob DiBenedetto with the Healthy Planet Radio Show on WUSB 90.1 FM Stony Brook. We're talking about an exciting event that's happening all month long on Long Island called the Vegan Chef Challenge. We're talking to Austin Simmons of Vegan Outreach, the organization that created this event, as well as Anne Merrill, organizer on Long Island, Jennifer Green, another key volunteer for the event. To find out more about the organization that started this, Vegan Outreach, go to www.veganoutreach.org. That's veganoutreach.org. And to find out more about the Central Long Island Vegan Chef Challenge that's happening during the entire month of June, you can go to www.veganchefchallenge.org/Long Island. That's veganchefchallenge.org/Long Island. Austin, we mentioned earlier that the event's been running in various other locations around the U.S., and you mentioned to me earlier that you've gotten some great feedback from those who do eat meat regarding the Vegan Chef Challenge. Talk a bit about that.
Yeah, so like we've been emphasizing, like, this program is for the general public. You know, we want everybody to take part, and that means we want a lot of non-vegan participation. And just our latest stats I was able to see for this year, 91% of restaurants that have joined our events are not vegan at all. So, you know, vegan restaurants could include, like, even things like pop-ups, food trucks, things like that. 91% of our businesses aren't vegan. And this is just stats from one of my chef challenges, the Rockford Vegan Chef Challenge that I help organize over in Illinois. And that one's on its third year, so there's a lot of vegans that have been looking forward to it. It's very popular in, like, the vegan scene there and the social media and stuff. So naturally, we're going to see more vegan participation. However, that's only about half. So about half of the votes that come in total are from vegans. So that includes their repeat votes.
Interesting.
And the other half isn't vegan. So the largest chunk of that is going to be the total meat eaters and flexitarians. That's about 37%. And the other percentage would be just vegetarians and pesco vegetarians that eat fish. So that's pretty impressive, especially when you consider that includes the repeat votes. And it's going to be the vegans going to the most restaurants, we know. So that's always cool to see. And the other side of things, too, are the chefs. And we know that, again, most of the chefs that join aren't vegan. And it's cool to see just how much pride they end up taking in their options. One example is the Lumpia House in Springfield. They joined for the first time last October when I hosted the event here. And they previously had, like, some vegetarian options on their Filipino menu, but they didn't really have anything specifically vegan and they weren't super familiar with it. But the owner there was so excited by the event. He ended up making a sizzling tofu sisig, and that's, like, based off of, like, what's normally a pork dish in the Philippines, but using tofu and, like, a vegan sauce that went with it. And he was so inspired that he ended up making a bunch of new dishes because he learned he could replicate a lot of the flavors and textures with things like eggplant, mushrooms, and fried tofu. And he just started making a lot of the traditional Filipino dishes vegan like that. And he decided in January this year, he's going to host an all-vegan buffet once a month. And that continues to grow so much that just last month, They were the feature of an NPR Illinois article for their amazing vegan options. So that's really exciting, and I'm actually going to the vegan buffet they're having today. Another example is Thai Jasmine Rice and Noodles. They joined the Rockford Vegan Chef Challenge in 2024. And they also told us that, they didn't particularly know much about vegan food. And when they received our folder that is really intended to invite restaurants to the event, but it also contains definitions on like what vegan food is, substitutes they can use for vegan meat, tips for creating vegan products. They were so inspired after reading that that they created dozens of new vegan dishes to feature that month.
Wow.
And they reported to us after that event ended that they had an over 25% increase in overall sales during the month too. So that's super impressive. It was good for business. They had fun. A lot of animals were saved by them selling so many vegan options. And I think those are just like two super cool examples. And I could give one for every city we do this in, but it's just really awesome to see how effective the program has been at inspiring chefs and diners to include more vegan food.
It really is a win-win equation there for the restaurants, for the people looking to get great plant-based options. Wonderful program.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And I'll address this question to both our local and national coordinators. Is there anything else you'd like to mention about how our listeners might either volunteer to help, in addition to visiting the restaurants, trying the food, and voting for their favorites? Anything else you want to mention on that?
Yeah, I'll throw out like nationally. So if you're listening to this and you're already vegan, that's super awesome. Something that you can do is check out our Adopt a College website. We actually go to local college campuses. They hand out vegan outreach leaflets. They're research tested to really be as effective as they can. You can actually get some free packs to get started. That's adoptacollege.org, and you can find that through our main vegan outreach website. We also have the 10 Weeks to Vegan program. That's good for people interested in transitioning to a vegan diet. It's good for vegans that want to, just learn easy recipes, get motivation, learn nutrition tips from our registered dietitians. You can find that at 10weeks.org or on the Long Island Vegan Chef Challenge website. There's a link right there too. And maybe Ann or Jennifer, you might talk a little bit more about the event itself in Long Island. It's super cool if you're in the area. You don't want to miss out on that. And remember, pretty much all the links that we talk about are on that event website too.
Fantastic. Jennifer or Ann?
Well, this is Jennifer. Thanks so much. I want to appreciate Austin and the good work of Vegan Outreach. I did campus leafleting back in the day and encourage anybody who wants to jump into that to do so. And thank you so much for leading the way with bringing the Vegan Chef Challenge to Long Island. I think it's a joyful thing, a beautiful thing for those who are vegan curious, vegan at heart. Come on in, the water's great. And the only regret I have from my own decision to quit eating animals and their products was that I didn't do it sooner. So it's a beautiful way to live. And yeah, thanks for hosting this great conversation, Bob.
All right, and thank you. Anne, have any closing thoughts to add in addition to what I've just asked?
Well, I'd like to thank you, Bob, for having me on this show today and for helping to spread the word about the Vegan Chef Challenge. It means so much to me. I'd also like to thank the restaurants, the chefs, our volunteers who have been phenomenal, and all the diners who've made this inaugural year such a success so far. And my hope going forward is that this challenge will inspire people. Try something new. And every time that someone orders a Vegan Chef Challenge dish, they should know that they are supporting local restaurants and encouraging chefs to be creative and helping to create a kinder world for animals. I think that's a pretty powerful thing for a single meal to do.
And who wouldn't want to do that?
Hear, hear.
Absolutely. No, thank you so much for the time. And yeah, I hope everybody can, if you're in Long Island, try those vegan dishes. Make sure to rate them on the event website. Share around that 10 Weeks to Vegan link that's on there too. And We thank you guys so much for listening and for having us on.
Fantastic. And thank all of you. We're going to bring our show to a close. Again, Austin Simmons, Anne Merrill, Jennifer Green, thanks so much for being with us on The Healthy Planet and for all the work that you're doing to create a cleaner, healthier, kinder world. And that'll do it for this evening's show. Thanks so much for joining us. This is Bob DiBenedetto with the Healthy Planet radio program on WUSB 90.1 FM Stony Brook. We've been talking about an exciting event that's happening all month long on Long Island, the Vegan Chef Challenge. And you can take part in that challenge. Go to www.veganchefchallenge.org. veganchefchallenge.org/Long Island. Or just look for Long Island. You'll find the various restaurants that are participating and everything that's going on Long Island for this event over the month of June. It's going to be fun, it's going to be delicious, and it's going to be enlightening and positive for the vegan scene on Long Island. And what's best for the vegan scene anywhere is what's best for our planet, best for our health, best for the animals. And you can find out more about the organization that's coordinating this event and who created this event by going to veganoutreach.org. That's veganoutreach.org. Join us again by tuning in on the second Friday of each month at 6 p.m. So we'll be back on July 10th. And when I'm not here, be sure to listen to the Natural Alternatives lineup with great hosts from Dr. Z to Courtney Bozick, John Turner, John Scardina, and more sharing cutting-edge, thought-provoking information on health, our environment, social justice issues, and much more. That's every week, Fridays at 6 p.m. And for more info on Healthy Planet, visit our website at www.healthyplanetusa.org. You'll hear this show in the archives. It should be listed toward the top of the page. That's www.healthyplanetusa.org. And if you'd like to access past shows, like our Facebook page, which is at Healthy Planet USA, at Healthy Planet USA. Until next time, stay strong, relax, make your voice heard in this world by continuing to speak up for what's right. Consider being kind to those around you, including our amazing four and multi-legged friends. Consider making final preparations for yourselves, your families, and your friends to eat out at one of the Vegan Chef Challenge restaurants. I'm going to be doing that. And finally, remember to enjoy each and every moment of existence on this beautiful planet that we all share.